Prince of Peace is what we're going to be looking at today. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9, we'll get there in just a moment. Wrapping up this series, What's in a Name? It's been a good series. I've enjoyed preaching through this. It's always easy to talk about Jesus and what he brings to the world. Hope you've had a good holiday season so far. Thanksgiving on the heels of Christmas. And we're headed into the home stretch here. For a lot of folks, they kind of view it that way. It's more of a whew, when it's over kind of thing. And you enjoy it, and then there's the hustle and bustle. And sometimes some folks just would rather the holidays just kind of go away because there's so much stress involved in the holidays. Let me just ask you a few questions. How many of you are already completely finished with your Christmas shopping? How many of you are completely? That's a pretty good number. Wait, raise your hands back up for a second. I want to see this. That's a pretty good number. I'm guessing 80-ish, maybe a little more percent of our church done. That is admirable. How many of you are going out to do some more rush shopping? Actually, this afternoon, you're headed to the stores. You got to do some. Come on, be honest. All right, there's a couple of you, all right? All right, there we go. We will pray for you, dear brothers and sisters. Can't believe you're doing that on Sunday. Just picking with you. How many of you? All right, here's a question. We're being honest, all right? We're in church today, all right? So at least, not that we shouldn't be honest out of church, but we are in church today. So how many of you have re-gifted something already this year? You have re-gifted something. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? When I say re-gifted, before we raise our hands, a gift that you perhaps got last year or something, and you didn't like it, so you gift it somewhere else. Come on now, honestly, how many of you have you re-gifted something this year? Come on. Raise it up, Maria. Come on, loud and proud. There we go. All right. Re-gifting something. All right, put your hands down. That's wonderful. Listen, I'm with you because that's good stewardship. That's good stewardship. You didn't want it to go to waste, so you put it to good use. Now, it wasn't a gift card, right, that you used last year. Okay, I was a little worried about that. If you're re-gifting used gift cards, that might get a little bit sketchy. But anyway, listen, this whole shopping thing and the Christmas thing can get a little interesting this time of year. And then there's the fighting over the Christmas, the TVs during the big sales and things like that. You've probably at some point been less than peaceful, have you not? Already this season, you have probably been less than peaceful. Can I hear an amen on the no peace thing? You've probably had some days where you were pulling your hair out, or perhaps you were pulling your spouse's hair out, or perhaps you're pulling your children's hair out, right? This is how the holiday season goes. It becomes a time of non-peace to us in some ways that, because of the Western world, are unavoidable. This is kind of the way that we do things, right? Maybe today, though, you've brought something a little larger into the room than just shopping for gifts and the trends that surround Christmas and kind of how we do things for, culturally speaking. Perhaps you've brought something into the building today that is working directly against peace in your life in a big way. Maybe you've brought one of these super challenging, life-destroying things into the building today that is weighing on your soul. Well, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how this Prince of Peace comes into the picture when it relates to that element that you brought into the room today. Not necessarily the Christmas shopping thing. Listen, nothing I can do about that for you. You go do your shopping, Good luck with that. Don't call me, right? But Jesus wants to enter your life today in a bigger way to answer the questions surrounding the bigger issues, the bigger peace issues of your life. It can be crazy. Crazy with schedules, got to get everything done, go, 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 get everything wrapped, house cleaned up, decorations, all the meals made, got to make that famous fudge that you take to everything, got to go to grandma's house. You ever notice how we always say that? I got to do this, I got to do that. Kind of sounds like a chore, right on the chore list, and it becomes something that just kind of loses the fun. Instead of being a peaceful time, it just, for so many people, it becomes a time of anxiety. Financially, man, let's talk about that for just a second. People are stressed out. I mean, we go out and we're just spending, and guess what? January's coming, and that bill is going to roll around in January, and you feel the stress of that thing coming, and you know, the kids are unwrapping the presents, and you're watching the joy on their faces, and at the same time, you're going, oh, I got to pay for that in a month. Oh, you know, so there's that stress, and rationally, there's the tension and anxiety. Some of you've got family issues. This next week, you'll be traveling to wherever that is, and you're looking for a Merry Christmas, but instead of it looking like a Merry Christmas, it looks more like a Jerry Springer Christmas, you know, at your family gathering. You're wondering if you can get through the thing without something happening this year like it happened last year when old so-and-so got mad and so-and-so walked out and left and went home. Where's the peace in Christmas? Isaiah chapter 9. We are on YouVersion this morning as well as our church app. If either way, you follow along with me. Verse 6, our text verse we've been using, controlling verse over the last 4 weeks. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now I hope that during this brief time together today, we can just for a moment experience a little bit of peace of God through His Holy Spirit today. Christmas can be a peaceful time. It really can. It's a time when supposedly battling armies used to pause their conflicts and sometimes even celebrate Christmas together. And for a lot of us, we sort of do the same thing because we, for a moment, we'll call a truce, a little time out in our conflicts, whether they're small or large. For a few days, can't we just experience Christmas in a peaceful way for a few days? Then it seems like after Christmas, we'll be back, right back in the turmoil, standing there in the return line at Walmart that's halfway through the store. But today, let's look at another scripture. Let's go over to Luke chapter 2, okay? Here's the fulfillment of things today over in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. This well-known, important passage that you almost expect to see somebody preach on it or teach on it a few times a year around Christmas, and it's dealing with the story. This was an angel of the Lord speaking to the shepherds in the field, obviously, and the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." But when I think about the birth of Jesus, I'm not envisioning, I mean, I do through the Christmas story, but altogether when I think it through, I'm not envisioning a very peaceful thing at the moment, okay? Let's rethink that story. Here's this teenage girl, Mary, who finds out she's pregnant. She's never been with a guy. So the very beginning of this whole story is not peaceful. Then you think of this journey when she's 9 months pregnant and traveling across country to be registered to pay taxes. Boy, that's just not peaceful. I don't think anybody around April 15th would think it's a very peaceful time. Here she is making the journey, taxes, pregnant. Then they pull into town. There's no place to stay at the Motel 6, you know, which, so finally Joseph negotiates a deal with the hotel owner to stay in the barn, which, by the way, was the parking garage of the day. You understand that, right? It was the parking garage. Ladies, that's not how you would envision having to give birth to your first child. Not peaceful, not wonderful, not beautiful, not peaceful times, all right? But into this chaos, this story, Jesus is born. The Prince of Peace enters the planet. But even then, there is no peace. The shepherds show up shortly after his birth. All right. King Herod gets threatened by the prophecies and goes ballistic, and he decides to kill every boy under the age of two. So here we have the Prince of Peace born, and all of a sudden, the innocent baby boys all over the place are being murdered. That's a little tough to reconcile with the words peace. It doesn't seem to make sense. Now, fast forward to today, and I see people who just don't have peace. Even at church, we walk into the building and we shake each other's hands, and for the minute you enter the room, then they reach out there and stick a First Things flyer in your hand, and there they smile, our greeters all over the building. You shake each other's hands, and what's the first thing you say to each other? How are you doing? Well, I'm doing great. Wonderful. Man, you know as well as I do, with a lot of folks that reach out and shake your hand, you're looking through those eyes going, uh-oh. Something's a little off with so-and-so today. You know they walked into the building with no peace. You know there's something going on. Anxiety, tension. You know, I've seen Christian marriages. You think, oh, well, but they know Jesus. She knows Jesus. They should have a peaceful marriage. Everything's wonderful. But study after study shows that just as many Christian marriages end up in divorce as non-Christian marriages. Some studies say even more get divorced. Where's the Prince of Peace in the marriages then? What about finances? You know, we pulled Dave Ramsey a long time to time when we have our financial peace studies, which, by the way, nobody showed up for, and I know good and well we got some folks that need some help financially. We're going to do it again. We expect you to be there. We bring him in to help us know how to biblically handle our finances. But goodness, the stress that enters that situation. Most people I know make far more money today than they ever have in their whole lives, but there seems to be more financial pressure then than ever. Where's the peace in it? I mean, what about these relational tensions we talk about? People just can't seem to get along. And again, inside the church. You can't pull into the parking lot at the mall or a store without somebody, you know, that's trying to get your parking space, and there's already that road rage thing going on, you know? No peace on the roads. Let's go home, turn the television set on, right? Turn on the news. What are you going to see there? Car bombing, school shooting, countries at war, political stuff off the charts, ridiculous. Where's the Prince of Peace in that? If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, did he fail? Did he fail back then? Did he fail today? What gives in this Prince of Peace talk today? You want to know. I want to know. Where are things going to get better? When are things going to level out for me and mine? Well, ultimately, I think we've got to stop and answer a question. How do we define peace? Okay? Because how we define peace is directly going to answer that question for you. Now, I've always thought that peace would be the thing that would remove my anxiety. That's where I want it to land, right? Or peace would calm me when I'm disturbed about something. I need that peace to just come over me, you know? This is where Eastern mysticism comes in, all these things, because people are struggling with peace and they just want to have that comforting peace. But when we study Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we find out that it's not really just that. So who is this Jesus? And among many other names we've gone over this week, and we see in the Scripture, he was called this Prince of Peace. What does that mean? Well, Prince, if we just look at that word, we know it's a ruler, the son of a ruler that is to take the throne. It means he is the captain. He is the in charge of this specific situation. He's the ruler. He's the Lord. The chief, the general, however you want to define that. Now, the Romans, they used the word czar, and it became C-Z-A-R, and then it eventually became Caesar, like Julius Caesar. It was the one who was in charge, the captain, the chief, the Lord. You look at it however you want to. This prince is in charge. Prince of peace, and you look at this word shalom, peace. It was a greeting that one person would give to another, and it simply means rest or tranquility. It means wholeness and completeness. So you can take all of those words and wrap them together and see that Jesus is the Prince, the one who is in charge of the rest and tranquility and wholeness and completeness for you. He wants to help you become the package of peace, basically, today. As long as we are in Christ today, we can have peace. Now, I want to remind you of that. I don't know where you stand with Jesus today. I don't know what kind of relationship you've reached with this Jesus today. But if you are not in Christ, a follower of Christ, you cannot please God in the way that our verse said a minute ago. Peace on earth with those with whom He is well pleased. So you have taken yourself out of the category of peace when you haven't accepted the Prince of Peace. So for you today, I can't go any further. If you've not accepted Him as your Savior, you don't follow Jesus today, that's where you got to start. That's where the story starts for you to accept this Jesus, right? Does that mean we can do anything then that as a believer we want, though, and still have peace? That after we've accepted Him, that everything is going to be good? And I think you would understand that the answer to that is a no. You know, because there is this lordship issue. There is the leadership issue of Jesus in your life. You know, can a couple get into a big hairy fight and go ballistic and call each other names and embarrass their kids and then all of a sudden God enters the room and He just calms the situation back down away? That's kind of what we think God should be in our lives, you know, just at a moment, you know, come on God, here we go, we need that little drop of peace. Well, no, because His will has been broken in the moment. So again, we have set ourselves outside the realm of peace when we have not acted in accordance with His will for that situation relationally, how we're supposed to treat spouses or children or those things. We've made the decision to scoot the peace, Prince of Peace aside and say, for the moment, I'm just going to blow up here. Can a person, you know, charge up all their credit cards way beyond what they can pay, more money than they know they make, and expect when that bill comes around to have peace when they open that American Express bill? God, bring peace to my moment. Now, wait a minute, He said. You've stepped outside financial bounds that were wisdom back here. You know, we expect God to correct a lot of crazy stuff, don't we? Prince of Peace, please! But no, we've gotten outside of things again. The amazing thing is, when we are under the lordship of Christ, He can give us a peace that most people don't understand. When your private world is falling apart, Jesus can give you an inner peace that goes beyond human understanding. But what does that mean in our everyday life? Here's the first thing. He is the peace who comforts you, okay? Some of you, you've got some things in your life right now that are haywire, to use that term. And there's no inward spiritual peace for you. Understand, Jesus does want to insert in that moment with promises to you to bring you comfort. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus wants to be the peace who comforts you. Notice it's not your peace, it's His peace. His peace, it's a different type of peace. When we're under Jesus, this Prince, He gives us peace. Not our peace, His peace. If we are out here and we don't have the access to His peace as much, when we are close to Him, we got to put ourselves back in a position where we are close to Jesus so He can give us the peace that He desires. Some of you might say, well, what if I don't have His peace? You may be a believer, but you're trying to live life your own way. You know, sometimes we do that. We're just trying to get through things. You bulk up against, we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, I got this. I can do this. I can solve this. I can figure it out. And the truth is, all of us know that we can't. We can't figure life out. We won't figure life out. Maybe you're a believer today and you've kind of taken God off of out of the lordship position in your life, and you know good and well you're just kind of running things by the seat of your pants the best way you think. You don't even engage God in your life. You don't read His words. You don't pray. You don't actively involve yourself in a relationship with God. And you today could not answer the question, are you close to God positively? You would have to say, no, I'm not really close to God. Well, how can you expect to find the peace of Jesus, to get the comfort of Jesus in your life, if you're not letting Him have control? He wants to be the peace that comforts you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here we go, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He is prepared to bring the peace to you. He is ready to bring the peace to you, but we keep Him outside of our lives, even as believers. It's a shame. Many of you today are anxious about everything. We're on the outside looking in, though, with this relationship. We don't have peace, and we don't understand the lordship of Jesus, how it works. Today, can you stop saying, I can do all things. I can do all things. No. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us with that direct relationship. Not only can He give us peace, but there's this peace that it talks about that goes beyond our ability to understand. I have seen people in my ministry years gone through things. I don't understand how they got through those. I know what the Scripture says, but when I look at their situations and go, I don't know how they're dealing with that. Well, I know the Scripture says because God can enter the picture and He can be the peace that comforts them. And He does. Even in the face of tragedy, the very real presence of God is there at the moment when we need it, when we're close to Him. Sometimes you may not know just how good God is until those moments of life. And then He surrounds you. And I've heard stories. I've had people during the moments come back to me later and say, I don't understand how it happened, but it happened. God was there. I believe Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the peace that comforts you. Secondly today, He is the peace who saves you. Now back to what I mentioned a minute ago, that brings salvation to the world. We kind of got this as church people, you know, this first part. It almost seems like I got them out of order today, but I didn't, because that first part was for the believers, really, honestly, the first section. But this second one is a reminder to us. When we kind of close in the walls of the church, to those of us that we have surrounded, we're in this nice little comfort zone in the church. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, amen. Thank you, Lord. I've been justified. I've been put on the right track. Notice the Scripture doesn't say, by the way, that we've done it by our own good works, okay? We've been justified. It's not by our religious efforts. Instead, we've been justified by faith. What do we have? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God because we placed our trust in Him. Now, most of you can remember back to your salvation experience. But I want us to be reminded today that it's because of Jesus, nothing good that we do. Perhaps we need to lean back on the one who can give us this peace. For me as a child, I remember the time when I was outside of Jesus. And I struggled with it. I really did. I didn't have peace with God, and I continued to seek after Him. I felt drawn to Him. I always wondered, you know, have I done too many bad things to be right with God? Could I ever do enough to make this up? And in my own way, I tried as an early teenager to make God happy with me through good works. That sounds kind of strange, but that's what I did when I was seeking God as a teenager. It never helped. I always went to sleep with no peace. Until the very night I came to know Jesus at a revival meeting in South Carolina. And I came to know Him and I understood and it dawned on me what was going on. The Prince of Peace entered the picture for me. I like the way Ray Comfort, I don't know if you've ever heard of Ray Comfort, but I like the way he shares the gospel. Now, I don't necessarily say this is how it needs to be done with everybody, but this is how he would do it. And you can actually see videos of him doing this. when he's sharing the gospel with people who pose different questions, and he goes and asks people these questions. So I'm going to kind of do this with you today, all right? I'm going to make you uncomfortable for just a moment. Preacher shouldn't do that in church. Well, sorry about that. I have a microphone. How many of you have ever told a lie? How many of you have ever told a lie? Come on, raise your hands. All right, I see the rest of you don't believe you, all right? So by you not raising your hand today, you just were included in the rest of the crowd, all right? Everybody in this room at some point in life has told a lie. I can press you hard enough to find that truth. All right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, liar. Come on, let's put us where we need to be. All right, just remind them of who they are today. Honesty, you know, it helps us get on the road to repentance. Now, here's something a little bit tougher. How many of you have ever stolen something? Now, I know you're all going, well, by definition, no. Paperclip at the office, pen at the office, you know, anything. My first offense as a burglar that I can remember is I stole some stickers from the Hallmark store when I was real little, and it was a devastating occasion. It was devastating because I got caught, but sure, one of those puppy stickers. They were really nice, but my mom still reminds me of that story. It was terrible. Anyway, so I just admitted to you I'm a burglar. How many of you have ever stolen anything? Anything? Look at that! Ooh, wait till word hits the street about all the thieves in First Friendswood Baptist Church. I'm ashamed as your pastor. All right, now I want you to look at that same person and say, stop, thief! Loud, come on, stop, thief! Okay, this is what Ray Comfort does to people on the street. He puts them all right, so here's the third thing I want to ask you. How many of you in the building today have ever looked lustfully upon another person? Don't you dare raise your hands. I don't want to know, okay? All right. I have an office for those things, all right? Don't do that in church. Goodness, I think some deacons raised their hands. Man. All right. I did prompt you to be honest, but man, come on, have some pride, you know? No. Welcome to First Friendswood Baptist Church, where we make you feel good about yourself when you come in. Now, I don't want you to feel good. This is the whole point of this. Jesus entered the picture when he came, and he said, I did not come to bring peace. Wait a minute, Jesus, but you're the Prince of Peace. He said, I came to bring a sword. Jesus came for us to be able to dig out the things in our lives, the problem areas, so that they could be addressed and the peace would follow. But what we recognize up front with Jesus is that he causes issues. I don't like being put on the spot like that. That's not peace. And we fail to see the whole picture of how Jesus works. He wants to enter a life that is tumultuous, that has problems. You may have sin issues today, all right? You may have anxiety issues related to all these things, other things I've mentioned. Either way, Jesus comes in, albeit with a sword or with the Holy Spirit or with a friend that talks to you and confronts you about something. The ultimate end goal of the Prince of Peace is to help you through the way that he works in a life, to help you pursue peace in the right way. Because let me remind you, he is the Prince of Peace that saves you from all of that. From all of the stuff, you just mentioned a bunch of stuff that nobody in this life, on this earth, can help you with. I can talk to you about all that stuff. When you come to my office, I'll let you just divulge. But at the end of that conversation, I'm going to have to point you to the only one that can help you correct sin issues in your life. And if you've got a puppy sticker problem, you got to take it to the Prince of Peace, because he's the one that can save you and change your character and work with you in those ways. Listen, if we were all judged just strictly on the Ten Commandments basis today, we're in trouble, game over, we're all in trouble. But the Prince of Peace wants to enter your world through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and correct all of the non-peace things. We are sinners by birth. We are needy by birth and by being human. And Jesus is the only one that could come into that picture and correct it. We don't have to teach little children how to be selfish, how to be sinful. It just comes naturally. We're all bent toward the wrong things in life, but Jesus was born to help us correct. He was born so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He was born so that he could be the innocent Lamb of God slain on a cross, so that he could give us life, so that he could be raised again and give us this power of the resurrection in our life, correcting the issues. Some of you are wondering why you don't have peace with God. Well, today I hope the Holy Spirit has perhaps brought some light to the subject in your mind. The scripture says, Ephesians chapter 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace." So let me just ask you as I close today, do you feel far off from peace today? Do you feel like you've been segregated from peace in your life and can't find it? Well, how about let the Prince of Peace come and help you pinpoint the issue today through this holiday season? Let's bring it to him. Let's come back to him. Dear Lord, today I love talking about you. Lord Jesus, I remember the day as a 13-year-old. It is so plain and clear in my mind. I remember it like it was yesterday. The moment I knelt and gave my heart to you, what a change. The peace that overwhelmed my heart, and finally I received the forgiveness of sins and put me on the right path to heaven and becoming a believer to follow you. And Lord, there's been times when I've strayed and gotten off track, but Lord, I'm so thankful that you've always been there for me and helped me to find my way back to peace in my life. Lord, today I pray for my brothers and sisters in the room today, that you would help us, Lord, to examine our hearts again. I think we already know the answers, whether we are truly peaceful here today or not. So, Lord, I'm praying that you would just help us to be willing to admit where we are, and then go to the source of peace again. Bring it to you. Dear Prince of Peace today, help us to be willing. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed for just for a moment. Listen, I know that perhaps you've got some things on your Christmas list. Maybe you've been thinking about, boy, you're hoping you get that thing for Christmas. You're hoping it shows up and you've been looking forward to it. Well, as your pastor, you'll have to let me know if you get that thing or not. But more than that, I'm praying that in this season you find peace again through Jesus. That you will reconnect with him in a way that helps to prepare your heart for the trying times of life. You can steady your soul by this Prince of Peace. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. And We're going to open the altars for prayer today, and maybe you just need to come and be surrounded.